Father, my God, I come to your presence once again by the blood of Jesus, confessing my sins. I strip myself, Father, of every confidence I might yet have in my knowledge or ability to minister. I put my confidence in your mercy and grace to use the preparation, to use, Lord, the prayers, and to be able to partake of the covering, the grace of the fathers of the house that I minister today, and to minister as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation knowledge of your word, and our emotions to be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. I ask for help, Holy Spirit. Help me to redeem none of the Satan's that are necessary. That is your word goes for. Let it break yokes. Let it heal bodies. Lord, come and testify of Jesus. Come and glorify him. Help me to redeem none of the things that are necessary. Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I bless and worship you. Thank you for all you're doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You're welcome once again to our service here. Let's open our Bibles, book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll do a brief recap from verses 7 to 10. We've been in this book now for quite some time, the book of Timothy. And then we stopped verses 3 to 7, 7 to 10 rather. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Let's read and follow me. Paul was talking to Timothy, and in verse 1, he spoke about the end time, talking about what will happen in the church, that perilous times to come, that men shall be lovers of themselves. The first thing he mentioned there was covetousness. In the Amplified Bible, in verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said something. He said, in the end time, he said, men will be loose in morals and conduct. You see, it's so interesting that he was telling the church that these are the things that go to. You see, when you read it, we assume in our minds that it's talking about the world. No, but Paul was warning Timothy, and by extension, the end time church, that these are the things that will try to creep in to the church, and they have already crept into the church. You know, it's not as you last time we spoke about how did he enter the church. He came in through leaders of the body of Christ, some that God called and have changed, metamorphosized, but morphed into, you know, false prophets. So they started teaching things that are worldly. Are you with me? So Paul listed quite a number of things, you know, and I find it very interesting that if you look at the body of Christ today, it's rampant. You know, and we take things for granted and we just assume that it's okay. Things that should not be mentioned among us. Let's now read. It says in, let's start from verse 7 because of time. Verse 7, like I said, we're going to read verses 7 to 10. Please change to verse 7. Now let's read. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Next verse. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So he's talking about truth here. Say, people are ever learning and they are never able to come to knowledge of the truth. That word knowledge is epignosis. Are you following me? So he said, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Next verse. But they shall proceed no further. Say, they shall proceed no further. That means they went ahead with their schemes initially. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Who are those people? Jannes and Jambres. Next verse. Okay, no. I think that's all. Okay, no. Verse 10. One more verse. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. What else is there? Persecutions and afflictions. Let's just stop there for now. So we spoke the last time and I took time to explain. As I was preparing again, God showed me, that, you see, when we see the word that says that people, God wants people to come to the knowledge of the truth. Say, people are ever learning, but they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. When we hear the truth, most people think of the truth in terms of getting born again alone. We spoke about it the other time. But if you open to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we normally use to pray for the nation, for kings, and for all men, the Bible says there that God will want all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's look at that. Who will have it? Who is who? God. will have what? All men. Say all men. To be saved. So God doesn't want any man to die and go to hell. But you see, it is not only that. And the second thing, after people get born again, see, to also to come to what? The knowledge of the truth. The epignosis. The reality. Experience of the truth. Praise the Lord. And like I said earlier on, at that time, there are three levels of truth. Looking at the three baptism that we have in the body of Christ. When we get born again, we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Don't need to turn here. And then the second one is when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with tongues. Now the last one that most Christians are not used to or don't know is the baptism of fire. Of which John the Baptist spoke in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see that fire there, it speaks about the fire of intercession. Of which when you begin to pray in the spirit, we travel all of you begin to burn out the sin nature in your soul and in your body. And the whole essence of that is so that you can completely remove the sin nature from your soul and your body. That is, you are now totally free from the nature of sin and from the acts of sin. Are you all with me? So, and you now come to that place that Christ came into. The Bible says he was tempted in every way like as you were, yet without sin. As long as you have a sin nature in your soul and in your body, you always have something to contend with. The enemy comes from the air, Ephesians 2:2, and then from within, activate the sin nature in your soul and body. That's why you see people, Christians, commit sins. Are you following me? So, but God wants us to come to that experience of the knowledge of the truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Please put it on the board. So Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples. He said that they were in. He said that then said Jesus to those disciples which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Next verse. And you shall know the truth. We are talking about truth here. And the truth shall make you free. So the Jews answered back. I said, we are never in bondage anymore. I can't say we are free. Are you following me? They were thinking in the natural. Now Jesus now answered him. Please follow quietly. Don't be too fast. Jesus answered them, very, very, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. So what keeps you in bondage that I was talking about is the sin nature in your soul and in your body. They were thinking naturally that no longer, they were no more in Egypt, they've left Babylon. But that was not what God was talking about. Next verse. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. Next verse. If a son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free in what? Indeed. Next verse. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. Next verse. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. That is the devil. Next verse. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto him, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. I think we've skipped some verses. Please go back to verse 35 or 36. Let's just go to verse 36. 36. It says, if a son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But what I want us to see there is, Jesus Christ was talking to them about the effects of sin, residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. Although we're not born again then. So that is what keeps you in bondage, and that's why you are not free. And they were thinking naturally about not being held in captivity or in bondage or serving one particular person. So it's a sin nature that determines whether you are free or not. If you still have a sin nature in your soul and you don't control it or flush it out, you'll still be in bondage to that because it will make you do things that you don't want. Like Paul was talking about, the things I want to do, I find myself doing them. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. He said, I find therefore a law warring in my members, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin. Praise the Lord. So that was what we talked about last time. And God wants us to be free from this sin nature. And that's the whole essence of our Christianity after we get born again. And that's what Paul was talking about when he said, people are ever learning and they never come to knowledge of the truth. And he said, God will have all men to be saved, get born again. And what? To come to the knowledge, the experience of the truth. That is the truth, the written word, which now takes us to the experience of becoming like the living word, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's the whole essence of message of perfection. Now let's read verse 8. We spoke about this the last time also. Now Paul began to, we are talking about what is going to happen in the end time and in the church. And I began to talk about two people, and related an incident that occurred in Egypt to what was going to happen in the church. Notice we are talking about truth here. He said, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these guys were Pharaoh's magicians. So do this also will resist the truth. Now, the truth they are resisting today, I'm trying to summarize so we don't waste time. It's not the truth of getting born again. Practically, most parts of the world, they don't disturb you if you are born again. But the truth that people are resisting, and it's not even the world, is within the church. Are you following me? As I said, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Next verse. Next verse, please. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also. Now, let's look back at what happened. Let me just explain. You see, God had sent Moses to Egypt, you know, after he stayed with his father-in-law for 40 years. And so God said, go to Egypt, go and speak to Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, in Egypt, we are in the house of bondage, which speaks of when you are in bondage to sin, when you are not yet born again. So God wanted to bring them out, to take them to the promised land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So anyway, Moses went there and Aaron, and they began to tell Pharaoh, thus said Lord of hosts, let my people go. Let my people go. And you know the story? Moses said, who is that your God that will let, that wants to, you know? He said, because you guys are idle, they should not give them story again. Anyway, Moses threw down his rod. He became a snake. So these two guys, they were not mentioned in the Old Testament, but by revelation, Paul mentions them. So Jannes and Jambres, they threw down their old rods. So they became snakes. If you were there and you didn't wait to see what happened in the end, you would say, one snake versus two snakes. But Moses' rod, or that rod, swallowed the two snakes. And that is how they withstood Moses. So Moses would give a sign, they would duplicate it. Moses would do this one, turn the River Nile into blood, and then they too they would do it. Then they did the plague of frogs, then they would do it. So what is that? So if you were there, or the Israelites at that time, you say, what's the difference? You did this, me too, we did it also. But if you notice, you had to take Moses to remove the things that were done. They couldn't, the magicians could not. So they continued like that until they came to the plague of lice. I think that's the fourth plague. And when Moses did that fourth sign, the Egyptian magicians, they said, they tried it, but they could not do it. And then I said, they told Pharaoh, said, this is the finger of God. By saying that, that means they knew that they were operating the finger of the devil. If you understand what I'm trying to say. So, but what I'm getting at is this. Paul began to narrate this experience to what is going to happen in the church in the end time. So, it's no more talking about Egyptian bondage. But now it's talking about Christians that are being held captive by false apostles and prophets into spiritual immaturity. This speaks about the church of God in Babylon. I follow me. Being kept in spiritual immaturity by the spirit of Babylon. And you know, the problem is this. If the Christians and saints don't grow to the perfection and the fullness of Christ, they cannot inherit the spirit of that measure. So here, Paul is saying, in this end time, Satan is going to raise up, and has already raised up, as we all know, false prophets and apostles, brother of Christ. Now, their own mission is to keep the children of God in captivity to spiritual immaturity. At that time, it was in Egypt. Now, it's the spirit of Babylon. That the Bible says in 1 John. It says, any spirit that confesseth not that Christ is come in the flesh is an antichrist. That is, they will come and preach messages that will say that it's not possible for you to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, being conformed to his image. And it's rampant today. And now begin to shift the focus of the saints to material and financial blessings. And then say, okay, your destiny is to go to heaven. And that is, they are trying to hinder the purpose of God deliberately. Because if people don't grow, they cannot inherit. In fact, if you don't grow, after some time, the person will be cut off. Our Bible says that two thoughts shall be cut off and die. So this is the problem we are facing now. We have, so to speak, religious pharaohs in the body of Christ that are keeping God's people in spiritual captivity, you know, to immaturity. Are you all with me? So that's what they do. They preach messages that hinder the growth of Christians. And they deliberately do that. And like I said the other time, I want to go there because of time. God is going to ultimately remove them. You see, the same way that God dealt with these Egyptians you know, and the Pharaoh. That's the same way he's going to deal with these people that are already in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. You see, because the purpose of our Christianity is straightforward. You see, once you, like Mommy talks all the time recently, I mean, she's talked about it before, but she brought it to the front burner about following the northern star and the northern compass. You see, once you lose focus of your purpose in life, then you'll be wandering in the wilderness. Are you following me? And you people live to 70, 90, and then at the end of the day, they die, they go to heaven. But you see, it is not going to be the same. Their reward, the reward for somebody that enters the fullness of Christ is not the same as somebody that just lives, has money, and all that. But Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we have all men most miserable. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul was talking about this issue also. He said, but speaking the truth in love, that we may do what? Say, grow up. Grow up into him in what? In some things. In all things. Say, in all things. Which is what? The head. Even Christ. So that is our purpose. That is our destiny. And if you read the earlier verses, he said he gave some. The purpose for the fivefold ministry, the primary purpose, let me put that way, the primary purpose is to raise Christians to grow up into this measure of a stature of the fullness of Christ. As I've been told, if we don't get to that measure, the age cannot close. It's not going to happen. So Satan understands this. So it gives us, in the body of Christ, toys to play with. And it's not as if these things are wrong. Prosperity is okay. But there's an overemphasis of a prosperity message in the body of Christ to these covetous leaders. Are you following me? And it sent, that already sent leanness to the soul of many Christians. Praise the Lord. So that was how their folly was made manifest. That is talking about Jannes and Jambres. They could not duplicate the signs that Moses was doing again. And then at the end of the day, when it came to the plague of boils, the same boils broke out on those Egyptians. So the Bible says they were ashamed to stand before Moses. And what I want us to see here is this. Why, how come it took the signs to continue to the fourth plague before they could not duplicate it? Because if you look at it, that's like a type of what is happening now. These people, they preach messages, they pray for the sick, they heal the sick. But there came a time that the measure of the Spirit upon Moses increased so much that he started doing things that were not common. And that speaks of a spirit without measure that is about to manifest, that God is about to pour out on the Zion church. Praise the Lord. That is, and what will make difference is it's going to be different from what we've seen even from Pentecost. Because the miracles are going to be instant, say instant, and consistent. They're going to be instant and consistent. They're not going to be sporadic. And these people that are in the body of Christ, they will not be able to duplicate it. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. And how these people operate? They operate like we've been taught. They operate with passive witchcraft and active witchcraft, like Saul. They begin to say things that God did not say. Then some of them, like Saul, have gone to the witch at Endor. They now use demonic powers to perform the miracles they do in the body of Christ. All this stuff they do. I follow me. I don't want to mention them, but you know them. Things that are not scriptural. You know, drink anointing. I saw one video or a clip. I didn't finish it, which was just crazy. This guy told his congregation that they should run outside and go and be eating grass. And they all ran outside and they fell on the floor and they began to eat grass. You are saying, now do you know why God has to judge the shepherds? There is no way. Judgment must begin in the house of God. That act is an act of wickedness. God gives you people to take care of. Paul was warning them in Ephesus. He said that, take it to yourself and to the flock that Christ has bought with his own blood. That is, you didn't pay any price. It's a privilege to be called into ministry. And then you now begin to abuse that privilege. You begin to, so to speak, rape the bride of Christ. What he has paid for, they cannot get it because you will be told the truth from them. Bible says that they omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And they overemphasize tithes and offerings and all that. Are you following me? So God has to judge. It's going to happen, folks. We can't be emotional about it. Now, how God will do it, when he will do it, I don't know. But the most important thing for you and I is that make sure you're not under that kind of ministry. You are not under it because you go there. If you listen to those kind of messages, but evil communication will corrupt good manners. I follow me. And then number two, if you are a leader, make sure you do not pause it. I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at what we have for today. We'll read from verses 10 to 15 in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. Let's now read. Say, but Paul now began to talk to Timothy about himself. Say, but because of what he spoke about earlier, about these false teachers, people don't love the truth, you know. Another place said, they have itchy ears. So he now began to say, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Next verse. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I did, what I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Next verse. Yea, say yea. All, not some. Say all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Praise the Lord. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Next verse. But continue thou on the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That is, you need to know who taught you, their lifestyle, their conduct, and the fruits that what they are teaching you is bearing in their own lives. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Let's look at that verse in verse 10 in Amplified Bible. In Amplified Bible, where Paul was talking. You know, when I checked in the KJV, he said, for thou hast fully known. The Greek word for fully known there, it means to follow after, follow one as to be always at his side. That is, you give leaders close marking. Now, that close marking is not necessarily living in their house, but you watch their conduct. You see, in Amplified, as we're going to read, it mentioned seven things. Which seven is God's number for completion. Are you with me? Let's now read. Now, in the Amplified Bible, you have closely observed. That's what you first of all, two things say you must do. Say closely observed and diligently followed. Then list seven things. Say closely observe and then diligently follow. Say closely observe and then diligently follow. They now list these seven things. One, my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, and steadfastness. Folks, these are the things you closely observe and diligently follow in leaders. And I thank God for the fathers of the house, because all these things you see, they are evident in their lives in season and out of season. Notice Paul did not say you are closely followed the miracles I did. You have closely followed, because you see, God can raise a donkey to raise the dead. But these are the things that matter to God. These are the things that God, becoming like God. I follow me? The teaching, because if you don't have right teaching, you cannot grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So these are the things, again, that you follow. You cannot follow Jesus Christ directly, like Pastor taught us. You see, Paul followed Jesus. Are you following? Kenneth Hagin followed Paul. And you are pastor following Kenneth Hagin and other fathers that God has raised up. So, but these are the seven things that you follow in true leadership. They are teaching. Bible talks about the doctrine of godliness, because that is the center of Christianity. Bible talks in the earlier verses that these people, they have a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. That is, it takes spiritual power to be like God. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to closely observe and to follow them. Praise the Lord. And let's now read, I'm coming. Jesus said before I get to that place, these are the things, just a minute. Yes, I have it here. I said doctrine of godliness. Then conduct. What does it mean by conduct? The way they behave themselves. Let's open to book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, read from verses 3 to 10. Their conduct is very important. Are we there? It says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Next verse. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, we try our hearts. Paul is saying that, look, God tries the hearts of his leaders. He will allow different things to come. If he would allow Jesus Christ to be tempted of the devil, how come we will not allow? Because he wants to, God doesn't know. But for you to see, so Paul said, God tries the hearts. That is when a man of God stands on the pulpit and begins to preach, he can preach a message of prosperity, but it'll be perverted. He can begin to say things that the motive is wrong. Hidden under that motive. Bible says that, you know, we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Would not walk in craftiness, nor handle God's word deceitfully. Next verse. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. That you don't come to the pulpit and begin to pump people all because of what you can get. But it is seen in the body of Christ today. We make people deacons that are not supposed to be deacons. Make them pastors, as we pastors. You know, the Bible says God does not like giving flattering titles. We give them flattering titles. Why? Because of what we can get from them. All these things are wrong. Praise the Lord. And also, the other thing I want us to see is that about faith. You know, Paul says something. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept what? The faith. These are the things you look at. Their patience. That is their consistency. You know, pastor will come here, will be preaching, and will say, and in my Bible this morning, I hope you know I read my Bible too, like you also. Are you following me? They don't have a double standard. What they tell you to do, they will have even done more than that. Same thing with mommy. There are some times, especially recently, I'm sure she won't be able to join. Not in a negative way, because I know probably what she's gone through the day before and all that. You know, pastor's daughter just got married. I'm sure she's going to rest. Because if it's me, I'll rest. No. Then the next thing, she just come on and she will keep praying, still leading prayers. Why? Because in those days, the leader must go to war. I'm not saying it's wrong to rest. But you can see the example. So when it comes to your own turn, when you are tired, I'm not saying don't rest. But you will go the extra mile. Are you following me? That you don't just say, okay, I'm doing this now, so I'm not going to do it. It's not like that. These are the examples that God has raised up for us to follow. We closely observe them and we follow them. Praise the Lord. Let's open to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 in the Amplified Bible. We're talking about what you closely observe and follow in those that God has raised up. And once you don't see these characters, these traits I've mentioned, then be careful. Don't follow anybody. You can see miracles, you can see signs and wonders, you can see money. You know, I didn't even mention money here. Are you following me? It's like if we are given the option to follow Solomon or Daniel, who will you follow? Who would this present-day church follow? Solomon or Daniel? Over half of the people in the body of Christ will follow Daniel, will follow Solomon. Nobody wants to pray like Daniel. Praise God. What does it say in the Amplified Bible? It says, practice what you have learned. It's Paul talking again to the Philippian church. Say, practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and what model your way. Say, model, that is pattern your life. Model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. So that means if you don't model your way after these things or these seven things, you will not be able to, you will not have peace. You know why you will not have peace? It's not the cause. Because the same nature will keep agitating you. Are you with me? That's why the psalmist said, return to rest, oh my soul. Because the same nature will begin to control you. And you find somebody that is not subduing the flesh, doing different things, always agitated. He's here today, there tomorrow. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. Verses 11 to 12. Paul now began to talk about persecutions and the afflictions that came against him because of preaching of the gospel. Now, many Christians don't want to hear the word persecution or affliction. Anytime we hear that word, oh God, why did you put this in the Bible? So we look for a way. But you see, the Bible says, they that will live godly will suffer persecution. So if you don't want to live godly, that means you won't suffer persecution. But the issue is this. God has made a way of escape for all these things. If you remember the parable of the sower, he said, the sower sowed the word. Some fell by the wayside. Now, the disciples said, some fell on the rock. He said, anon with joy, they received the word. And it sprang up. He said, but when the sun arose, it was scorched and they died. So the disciples went and told them, what does this mean? There are different kinds. I'm not just focusing on that one. They now told them, now interpreted it. He said, don't you know this parable? He said that those that fell on stony ground, He said, when the word the sprang, he said, it had no root in themselves. He now said, when persecution or affliction arose for the word's sake, by and by they got offended. That's what happens to many Christians. They come to church, they hear that God wants to be like him. They hear about the Spirit without measure. They are so happy, you know, begin to do it. And all of a sudden, the enemy kicks up a storm against them. So a scripture comes to my heart. You see, the kind of persecution that Paul faced, you can't face it now because God will not allow you and I to be tempted about what we are able to bear. Are you all with me? But you see, as you grow and read more and more of the messages of the Spirit of God, those things will be allowed to come. Satan will attack. Satan is not going to just sit down and then you have a spirit that made of bold anointing or you are doing the right thing and then you just allow you to. No, it's going to attack. Are you with me? But Bible says, be of good cheer. I have overcome what? The world. So Bible says that they had no root in themselves. So it's like when persecution or affliction arose for, that's in Mark chapter 4, arose for the world's sake. He said, bam, but they got offended. And they could not bring forth fruit unto perfection. So persecution and affliction will arise. So if you decide again to choose the other aspect of prosperity, persecution also part of the package because people are going to envy you. Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter, I think 9 or so, he said, no man has left father, mother, and house for the gospel shall in this lifetime receive a hundredfold with persecutions. He put it there. It's part and parcel of what we Christians have been called to endure. You know why? Persecution and affliction, they act as catalysts. You see, when you are undergoing pressure, either at work or at home, or that's what generally most of us, we have not gone to places to go and preach gospel like we hear about nations that they put Christians in prison. But this is a persecution for righteousness' sake. You're in university, your lecturer will say, I will fail you if you don't do this. All that crazy stuff I will hear. And then some Christians succumb. What will you do if you go and preach somewhere and they strip you naked? And they beat you before everybody. What will you do? Acts chapter 13, verse 13. We're going to look at it. I'm just mentioning it. When John Mark saw what Paul began to undergo, he ran away. Acts chapter 13, when you're in Paga, he ran back home. Incidentally, 13 is God's number for rebellion. And find this one, says, Acts 13, 13. He ran back. But God does not want us to run back. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it. John chapter 15, verse 20. So you see, if you don't preach it, I'm not going to overemphasize it, but we have to preach it. Why? Because the church is going to go through the great persecution, not the great tribulation. So we need to be prepared. Praise the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 20. Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have what? Persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. It's the master that said it. So in verse 11, they persecuted Paul and Barnabas. They started from Antioch of Pisidia. That's not the same Antioch where they were called out. That's why it said Antioch of Pisidia. When they started, they preached the message. You know, when they will go to the synagogue, they will preach. When they preach, people will listen. Then the Bible says, I don't have time to tell you. The Jews were envious of them. Because you see, the proselytes, they started listening to them. The Gentiles were listening to them. And then the Bible said, the next day, about half of the city gathered together to listen to Paul. I thought they would have been happy. But they persecuted them, they drove them out. Then from there, they went to Iconium. They preached again. Those that were in Antioch, they came there again. They persecuted them. They left the place. The Bible says that they raised up noble women, people of influence. It's like you preaching the gospel in the battle now, and people now go and meet the governor and the big people and say, we have to get rid of these people. That they, God forbid, they bring the bulldozer, like they've done it sometimes before, bring to pull down the church. It can be very discouraging. Much the more so, if you notice in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was discouraged. You see, it's not that we don't feel the pain when those things happen. Jesus Christ had to appear to him and tell him that, be of good cheer, I have many people here. At least don't leave, just stay there. I'm with you and nobody will hurt you. So, then they left there. They now went to Lystra. That's why they raised up a man that was born lame. And people said, these are the gods that have come with us. Blah, 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 blah. The next thing, those people that came, the Jews, fellow Christians, they came from Antioch and Iconium to Lystra. And they spoke against what they were preaching. They contradicted everything the apostle preached about. And they took Paul and they stoned him and left him for dead. Bible says that the disciples surrounded him. And when they surrounded him, what happened? Paul rose up. And look at what Paul did. He went back to Lystra. You see, our commission, you cannot, no retreat, no surrender. Bible talks about not loving our lives unto the dead. He went back. And like Papa preached years ago, he was in his going back. Notice that Acts 13, John Mark had left. It was in when he went back that God raised up Timothy. Very important. What if he didn't go back? Praise the Lord. I have another example about Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 5 in Amplified Bible. You see, these are the things that when you undergo those things at the level you are, nobody's going to come and stone you. God will not allow them. That's why he told the disciples, he said, look, guys, when he was going to the cross, he said, go. He said, this, leave this and let him go. But you know, Peter was doing bold face. He said, God knows your level. So will not allow what you cannot handle to come against you. So he said, leave this one, let them go. But Peter was doing bold face. And ended up denying them. So God will not allow any persecution or affliction that is more than you can handle to come. If it comes, God must have given you the way of escape to take it. So look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah began to complain to God, a whole prophet. He said in Jeremiah chapter 12, I will say, uncompromisingly righteous and rigidly just are you, O Lord. When I complain against and contend with you, yet let me plead and reason the case with you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are all they that are ease and thriving who deal very treacherously and deceitfully? Verse 2 say, you have planted them. It's not God that planted them. Because Jesus Christ said, whatever my father has not planted shall be removed. But because it's still growing like a green bay tree, does not mean it's not going to be removed. Praise the Lord. Say, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouths, but far from their hearts. Verse 5. God now rebuked Jeremiah. Say, but the Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience. So we have to be patient. When you see the wicked spreading himself like a green bay tree, there are a lot in Nigeria today. Bible says be patient. You know why God wants us to be patient? Bible says long suffering of God is salvation. He doesn't want them to die. So he's still looking for a way to save them. Are you following me? So he says, God told him, he said, saying, if you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? That is Jeremiah, there is still more to come. You have just begun. And if you take to flight, Ojapa, in a land of peace where you feel secure, then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of jungle haunted by lions or in the swelling of flooding of Jordan? God was telling Pilu, Jeremiah, I gave you this commission to speak to the people. Now you are getting jittery. You know, there was time they put him in a dry well. You know, it was one guy called Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, I brought him out. So, it's not, you can easily get weary and tired. Go, what are you looking at? I've done this, I've done this, whatever you told me to do. Yeah, the wicked are prospering and you seem to be quiet. No. God wants us to, one, be a witness to them. And on judgment day, everything good, you stand against them when they open the books. And then God is also trying to save them. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, they persecuted Paul, Antioch to Iconium to Lystra. And what is persecution? Persecution, like Pastor defined, is rejection and physical attack from men to pressure us to hinder our faith or to take us away from God and his purpose. That's the purpose of persecution. So Satan will raise men, especially people you trust in the body. Then what is affliction? Affliction is bodily and circumstantial attacks orchestrated by Satan remotely without any consciously willing human agent. What does he do? What is the intention? To try to physically kill us or to destroy us. And you see, why does God allow these things to happen? Especially affliction is to break your pride. You see, I discovered that there are some things that when you don't go through the grill at times, you will not be as diligent as you ought to. Let me just maybe mention, just comes to my mind. I was in a place recently, and after I finished what I had to do, I checked my time. It was 12:02. So I said, okay, let me go and sleep now. So as I sat down to sleep, the Holy Spirit said, pray now. Folks, learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He said, pray now. 12:02. I had not slept up to that time. And I was very tired. Everywhere was aching me. So I sat down. I had Panadol. I took it with some water. I said, okay, let me start. So I started praying. The moment I started praying, strength came. God must have sent an angel to strengthen me. I felt so refreshed. So I prayed. I extended the time of worship. I prayed till about 3-4. I was worshiping God. God spoke to me. I was encouraged. He spoke to me. I was really encouraged. I was looking at myself. I thought I was tired. 24 hours, I did not sleep. Folks, I didn't doze. People can say I didn't sleep. So maybe what it meant is I maybe just slept for that. I did not sleep for 1 second. So as I finished prayers, I was supposed to join Good Morning Jesus, for the 1 hour before at 4. As I was getting ready. So maybe I finished my prayers. I just wanted to have my bath, dressed up, let's pray, and let's move on. But the thing is that because it was God that told me to do it, He gave the strength. But I said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So what happened? The next month, that the generator just went off. With guests and visitors. Talking about 4 a.m. in the morning. So what did I do? We came out. We did everything we wanted to do. We couldn't get it done. Where is diesel? Where is battery? We did everything. It did not work. So I kept quiet. But there was a peace in my heart. I knew that was why God told me to pray. Folks, learn to obey God. Don't say, I will wait till 5 a.m. when God tells you to pray. So anyway, I stood by the generator. I said, Lord, what will I do? Then I heard a voice. Folks, I heard a voice. That voice said, you see now, labor loss. Folks, it's true. Satan talks to people. The moment started sharing, I think the reason of this, after the fast, about answering Satan back that it is written. Quoting from what Jesus Christ, I'll reply Satan, that it is written. Much only by it is written. So Satan came to me. I'm not imagining it. He said, see now, your labor loss. You're working all day, all night. See now, what are you going to do? It was, at that time, everywhere was so quiet. Nobody, as if nobody spoke. People are talking, but I didn't hear. Well, that was what I heard. But immediately, the scripture came up in me. I said, God is not unrighteous to forget my work and labor of love. Make sure the word of God is eating your heart richly. I spoke back. And then I spoke back. I said, Lord, what do I do? Lord said, call the mechanic. At this time, he won't pick the call. I said, call the mechanic. At this time, I kept quiet. I said, okay, I will call. Like Peter said, okay, we'll cast the net. Immediately I called the guy picked the phone. And when he picked the phone, I told him, he said, Pastor, go and check this and this. Lo and behold, we saw God that the thing worked. What am I saying? We thank God. We give up. I'm saying, learn to use your weapons. Learn when the enemy brings affliction or persecution. Don't begin to weep and cry. These are still small things, though. Generator. They did this to me. What about when it involves the lives of people? The life of the Philippian jailer and his family was what Satan was contending for when they took Paul and they put him in prison and they beat him. Like Papa said years ago, he said, when Paul had the vision and he saw the Macedonian call, say, come out to Macedonia and help us. He said it was that man that he saw that God was using to be able to come. Come and help us. That man has been crying his heart for salvation. Now, Paul goes to Macedonia, has that hearing the word of the Lord. And then they cast out the devil from that one, the lady with his serpentine spirit. And then the next thing after doing the Lord, they locked him up. And they beat them. But Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? They prayed. And they sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. In the midst of your persecution and affliction, pray. The wisdom of God will come. The power of God will come. And God will turn around for your own testimony like he did for Paul. So it's very important for us to know that why are we saying these things again? It's because there's a great persecution that is coming ahead when God releases the Spirit without measure. I'll close with this scripture. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 9, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh." This is not sickness. It's Satan that kept on buffeting him. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. "Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my word, grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly thereof will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might do what? Rest upon me." Psalm 34, verse 19. I believe we'll close with this scripture. Many. Say, let's be many. Did he say some? Many are the afflictions of the what? The righteous. But what? Say, but the Lord delivered him from them some. Oh. So Jehovah God will deliver us from every affliction and persecution that the enemy brings. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't be persecution-minded, but it's going to come. The Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives on death. That's how you go to overcome the persecution. See, many are the afflictions of righteous, but Lord, deliver them from them. Say, all. I go to overcome. We are going to overcome all with all. Praying always with what? All. Say all. Prayer and supplication. So it's not some. You have to take that package together. You are going to overcome the all of God with the all of Satan. Some won't do. Praise the Lord. Hide us now.
Hide us now. Under your wing. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, we will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. We will be still and know you are God.
We will be still.
Second verse.
Find rest, our souls in Christ alone.
In Christ alone.
No respite.
In quietness and trust.
When the oceans rise
and thunders roar.
Just Lord, by the name of something, I'll just share it because I need to tell us how to overcome. I already mentioned it, that we overcome all of Satan by the all of God. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. That's how we overcome persecution. That we also overcome affliction by becoming more humble. Well, God gives grace to the humble. That's why he told Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For you to get sufficient grace, there needs to be sufficient humility. Now, this is what God spoke to me as I kept quiet. I was listening to him because I tried to listen to him. Eventually, there's something else he wants me to say. Now, he gave me a scripture some time ago talking about Joshua, which is the same. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that you may make your ways prosperous and have good success. Now, he now took me to what happened when Satan tempted Jesus Christ. after he failed, but he departed from a season. So when he came back to check whether the word had departed. So the key, understand those two scriptures. You're looking at that word depart. The key is that this book of the law shall not depart, even though Satan has departed for a season. He's still going to come back. Are you with me? It's very important. So what happened when Moses smote the rock? The word had departed. The same as watch it therefore and pray always. Are you with me? What happened when Joshua took the victories of those people and they made a covenant with the word had departed? Now, why did God tell Joshua and give him that instruction? Because he was going to take over from Moses. So he told him the secret of what he had taught Moses. That means when Joshua was young, the word usually departs because he had not yet mastered it. Are you with me? So he now told him, said, look, you are taking over from this man now. Make sure that this, because that this is the key. So what is the key, folks? Is in what we have been taught. Prayer with all kinds of prayer. Washing our feet regularly. So as long as you keep doing those things, washing our feet regularly at least 4 times daily. At every opportunity, in every temptation, no matter what persecution comes, you will overcome them. Praise the Lord. Let's now pray. Let's drop our hands and pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins to cleanse with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the perils of the end time, but also revealing to me the way of escape that you have provided. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure to enable me to diligently use the blood, the word, and the spirit to overcome the end time deception of false prophets. And also as I pray and work in the spirit to perfect the love of God. And also as I closely observe and also diligently follow the teaching and the conduct, the purpose in life, the faith, the patience, the love, and the steadfastness of my spiritual parents, knowing that as I do that, I will receive the reward of the bold anointing of a spirit without measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in the spirit. Please, let's pray. Let's pray for the sick, like we've been told, but the scripture came to my heart. We need to pray for strength for those that paramount are watching or that are undergoing any form of persecution or affliction. God wants to encourage us. So he dropped the scripture in my heart, and I'll just read. Now say that in Isaiah 41. Just a minute. Say, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. It shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall what? Perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. And they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, say unto you, fear not. The Lord will help you if you are listening to this message, and it will uphold you and enable you to overcome all persecutions and afflictions in Jesus' name. Father, I was going to thank you for our brethren that our hands are lifted up, who need healing. Thank you, Father, because your word says that healing is the children's bread. Father, the Bible says you sent your word, and you will send that healing word, Lord God, your power that is the atmosphere to set them free, Lord, from every form of sickness or disease or affliction. I will pray for those that are agitated in their minds, Lord God. We say, return to rest, O their souls. Minister life and power under the authority of our spiritual Father, and will set you free. Because the Bible says, whoever the Son shall set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.